From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will conclude a message entitled Preaching the Gospel, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Through, Not Engulfed. The text is Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Bridge there is none. We must go through the waters and feel the rush of the rivers. The presence of God in the flood is better than a ferry boat. Tried we must be, but triumphant we shall be, for Jehovah himself, who is mightier than many waters, shall be with us. Whenever else he may be away from his people, the Lord will surely be with them in difficulties and dangers. The sorrows of life may rise to an extraordinary height, but the Lord is equal to every occasion. The enemies of God can put in our way dangers of their own making, namely persecutions and cruel mockings, which are like a burning fiery furnace. What then? We shall walk through the fires. God being with us, we shall not be burned. Nay, not even the smell of fire shall remain upon us. Oh, the wonderful security of the heaven-born and heaven-bound pilgrim! Floods cannot drown him, nor fires burn him. Thy presence, O Lord, is the protection of thy saints from the varied perils of the road. Behold, in faith I commit myself unto thee, and my spirit enters into rest.
My soul is sad, exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I has been the old story so
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus, Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. assembled company reacted strongly to Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. The Scripture says that they were pricked in their hearts. The Holy Spirit wrought deep conviction of sin in them. Here we see the inevitable effect of true gospel preaching. Sinners are made to face themselves and will either surrender to Christ in salvation or will be hardened in their sin. Peter called upon his listeners to repent and be baptized and to separate themselves from the world and its wickedness. We see that the promise had a wide scope. It extended to Jews and Gentiles, to parents and to children. 3,000 were converted to Christ on that day. The passage shows that they were one in their commitment to Christ and in their constancy to Him. Now here is Dr. Cairns with the concluding portion of this message called Preaching the Gospel.
Then verse 42 through to 47 gives the constancy of these new disciples. Well, you notice in verse 42 their establishment in Christ. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Notice the four areas upon which they were grounded. Doctrine, they were settled in the apostles' preaching. The word here is teaching. They got into the deep things of God. They were taught of God. Tell me, is that not the reason for the great weakness of God's people today? Were the Christians, by and large, who even have a taste for doctrine, never mind a knowledge of it? Most Christians nowadays are happy to have a glorified comedy show. Just let's get through as easily as we can. Or more spiritual Christians, wanting to be taken up always with experience, something that will make me feel convicted or feel good or feel some other way. Now, there's nothing wrong with a Christian being convicted and feeling happy in the Lord. True preaching should lead to true experience. My friend, first, there's establishment in doctrine. Let's get to learn the things of God. And then, after the doctrine, there was fellowship. They got settled in the presence of the apostles. They got into their company. They got to fellowship with them. They turned away from the untoward generation. They gave up the company of the ungodly. And they got into fellowship with God's people. They weren't merely on the periphery of the church. They didn't just merely come to church on a Sunday and sit there and look at the crowd and say, look at them. No, they were in with God's people. That was their settled companionship. Among the people of God, I get worried about Christians when they find their friendship in the world. When they find their fellowship among the ungodly. I get worried about Christians when that happens to them. These people got grounded in doctrine and fellowship. And then the breaking of bread speaks of the Lord's table. The passion of the apostles for Christ was communicated to these people. They really got to the place where they loved the Lord. They saw the Lord. They remembered the Lord. They got built up in the Lord. They were grounded at the Lord's table. Now, the amount of bread you eat at the Lord's table would never build you physically. This is only a sacramental feast. It is a spiritual feast. But at the Lord's table, you will be established. You'll grow in grace if you look beyond the elements. And you see the Savior. That's what happened to these people. And then in prayers. So do you notice these things? Doctrine, fellowship, the Lord's table, and prayers. They were established and grounded in these things. And that led to verse 44, verse 45, their commitment to Christ. You'll notice that they that believed were together. They had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. You will notice their unity, their spirituality. You will notice that eternity was the thing that to them really mattered. Things that you can buy, things that you can accumulate, things meant nothing to them. They receded in their estimation, and that's why they were willing to give up things in order that they may have Christ. Again, let me say, there's nothing wrong with a Christian having his possessions. The Lord never said they couldn't hold their possessions. Nothing wrong with a Christian having wealth and home and all the rest of it if he uses them aright. Nothing wrong. I'll tell you again, I do get worried about God's people when their only subject of conversation is things. When they talk about the money they make, the purchases they make, the things they accumulate, the trinkets of this world. Now, as I say, the Lord allowed them to have their possessions. But when these things become paramount and we live for things, we've lost sight of what really matters. These people were totally committed to Christ. And all they were and all they had were to be of use for the glory of the Lord and the extension of His church. Then finally, you will notice their agreement in Christ. Verse 46, verse 47. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple. They were every day together in worship and in fellowship, ever confessing the Lordship of Christ. In fact, I think you could say that the Lordship of Jesus Christ characterizes this whole passage of Scripture, and that sums up their entire spiritual experience. Jesus Christ as Lord. You remember Peter ended his sermon, verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ." So they took the Lordship of Christ seriously. They took this sermon of Peter's seriously. And now they crowned him Lord. There's a theory going about today, and I know that it can sometimes be true, but it's very dangerous, that you can have Jesus Christ as Savior and never crown Him as Lord. Many sermons are preached in that line. Jesus Christ as your Savior, but not as your Lord. Now let me say, my friend, that at the best, if you're in this meeting this morning and you say, "Jesus Christ is my Savior, but I confess He is not my Lord," at the very best, that is a confession of terrible backsliding. I fear, more truly, maybe a confession that He is not even your Savior. He is the Lord and the Christ. And these people knew nothing of this dichotomy of holding Christ to be Savior and not as Lord. As soon as they received Him as Savior, they crowned Him as Lord. Therefore, acknowledging the Lord's Lordship over their life, their worship and fellowship were in total agreement. I think when you get a church together and every Christian crowns Christ Lord, my, you get over all the divisions then. You get over all the carnal schisms then. Once you've got Christ as Lord in the life. Now it's interesting. When we read of these three things, that running parallel with them, you have three great words, and with these we close our study this morning. In verse 42, there's the word fellowship, and that speaks of their tenderness in the church. In verse 43, there's the word fear. Fear came upon every soul. Now let me say this to you. If there's one thing lacking in America today, it's the fear of God. When every dirty half, well, I'll not just go too far in describing them. I'd be very tempted to be very hard on these people. When every third-rate music hall comedian comes on to get a filthy laugh from an ungodly crowd by making a mock of the things of God, you know there's no fear of God abroad in the land today. No fear of God. And let me come a little bit closer home. When preachers and Christians can stand nonchalantly before God and stick a hand in their pocket and talk to God as if He were no one. Where our prayer meetings in most
Places across the land have become a travesty of agonizing before God. When we talk offhand to our Maker and we have no vision of the Lord's holiness, the Lord's glory, and the fear of God is departed from us, we're in a bad and sad and tragic way. Isn't that what has happened? Where is the fear of God today? I'll tell you this. When God comes down in power upon His people, there will be a fear of God among His people. For the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. But it will go further. And you will find this as we go on in the book of Acts. Great fear will come upon the ungodly even. Great fear will come upon the ungodly. And I'm looking. We were talking about the moral majority attempt to clean up the morals of America. My friend, let me tell you, there will come a clean up morally when there's a visitation spiritually. Because God will send great fear among the people. Great reverence for the things of God. Oh, may He soon send it. And then there's a third great word, verse 47. The word favor. Praising God and having favor with all the people. This is their triumph. The fellowship is their tenderness in the church. Their fear is their testimony before the world. Now this favor is their triumph among the sinners. Souls added to the church day by day because God gave them favor. My, let's get to pray for that. So that the next time you go witnessing for Christ, the Lord will give you favor in the eyes of those to whom you go. The Lord will create an acceptance of the message and the Savior whom you preach. That the Lord will open doors that before have been closed. And give you a welcome where before you had a rejection. Oh, may the Lord give us that kind of favor. You'll notice the words, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There's a little controversy over the translation of those words. But I think at the bottom of the controversy, the meaning is just the same. We may differ in words, such as were being saved, some people tell us, is the proper rendering of the words. So be it. Let me say this. The Lord added those that were being saved. And there had been nobody saved apart from that sovereign act of God. He does the adding. But I think that here there is God's protection in His church. My, when there's a great revival, one of the greatest dangers is the counterfeit and the spurious coming in. And if we pray through and get a movement of the Holy Ghost and grace in our midst, as I pray and trust we will, the big danger will be fleshly counterfeits. We have enough of those abroad in the world today. What we need is the reality of Pentecostal power. Now, how do we have protection against the counterfeit? The Lord adding to His church those that are being saved. The Lord bringing in the true converts. And the Lord, to a large extent at least, excluding the false. Oh, may God in grace give us that kind of genuine movement of the Spirit of God when we shall see what Christ can do and see Him exalted with multitudes saved across the land and the fear of God again spread upon the face of the earth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father, give us, we pray, another outpouring of the Spirit in all His fullness. O Lord, we cry to Thee, in the name of the Lord Jesus, send conviction yet again upon sinners in the preaching of the Word. Lord, give commandment to save. O, we plead that Thou wouldst marvelously move, and grant our God that Thou wilt give genuine conversions, that souls may be made anew in Christ. Save the lost. Build Thy church. Send a mighty revival to this great nation. O Lord, turn many souls to righteousness. And let the fear of God again be found spread across the land. Hear us now. And part us with Thy blessing. In Jesus' name.
and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.